Blog Talk Radio.
There were some clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that became a pond as it gathered up so much rain. Little seed close by grew into a tree as it soaked up so much rain.
Hello, thank you for tuning in to the Philosophy Show today. It is Wednesday night, Thursday morning, same time, once a week, 30-minute show. It's 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9:30 p.m. Pacific, and today is November the 19th, 2015. So get ready, strap yourselves in. It's episode 113 of the Philosophy Show. Today's show is called Relationships Between the Lines of Communication, Personal and Social, and a different perspective in understanding communication in relationships. It's also a call-in show, so if you want to call in, give us a call at area code 646-929-1344. That's 646-929-1344. And also check out my YouTube page, youtube.com/blastoffreshair. And this is on Blog Talk Radio. You can visit blogtalkradio.com/philosophy. So let's get right into it. Now, I'm also going to have a poem I wrote at the end. But here's, well, I mean, if you look at the title, Between the Lines, you know, heard that saying, read between the lines, or got to listen or understand between the lines. Let's see. Let's give some examples of what might start an argument in a relationship. And I did say personal and social. So the principle applies pretty much the same. But personal, what could cause you know, we could have a friendship, we could have a, you know, a monogamous relationship, we could have work relationships, and, you know, all different kinds of relationships, right? So thinking about like a monogamous, you know, intimate relationship, what could cause an argument? Like someone, let's say someone not listening to you, you know, or what makes it seem like someone's not listening to you. I mean, you might have asked someone a certain thing over and over again, and, you know, it seems like they're oblivious to that. I guess that could be one thing. I'm trying to think of a better example here. And I had some in my mind, and, well, I mean, let's go with that not listening, because, you know, someone could have said, like, you know, I really hate mushrooms or something. And then, you know, after the 10th time of cooking something with mushrooms, that could be bad. Or I'm scared of water, and then, you know, take them to Adventure Island for vacation. Or, you know, what else? I'm scared of scary movies at night, and then decide for the weekend to rent like Poltergeist or something, you know. I mean, so that could be a sense of not listening as well. Listening in spite of, right? So, you know, I'm not even going to get into, trying to go into the innocent things where there's miscommunication, where both people have good intentions. I mean, obviously, if someone steals, lies, or cheats, then, you know, you might want to question being in that relationship in the first place. But I'm talking about a situation where both people have good intentions. There's just miscommunication, you know, and nobody's perfect. But that's the situation right now, assuming both parties have good intentions and there's just some miscommunication. So that's what we're focusing on today. So even with two people that have good intentions and are honest towards each other, there can be miscommunication, and that can turn into arguments. That can turn into paranoia. That can turn into, strife, and eventually, who knows? Look at the statistics, right? Now, I guess you could look at the glass half full as well, right? But so usually that has to do with miscommunication, I would guess, most of it, you know? Usually I would imagine things end in an argument. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe sometimes they just end very cool, calm, collectively, and just said, that's it. But I don't think that's how it usually ends. There probably is usually something that was like a conflict, I would imagine, and then it led to not it being able to work out. I bet there's a small percentage, but where they just went, it's Thursday, just forget about it. Let's just go separate ways. No big deal. Good knowing you. That's possible, but I don't think that's how many of them happen. I like to brainstorm all different things here, So that's just the process. So let's assume that, because otherwise there wouldn't be all these songs about breaking up and all this stuff and all this hardcore emotion, right? The other scenario that I just mentioned is probably so far and few in between, and they're probably, if there's no conflict, then there's nothing to really talk about. It's not really a problem in that situation for those few people, but for the people that are so distraught and writing songs about it or listening to songs and just sulking and all that kind of stuff, this might be of interest or interesting, I guess. I would mostly say think for yourself. This is not relationship advice. This is just psychology showing a different perspective in understanding communication and relationships. So, and it could be, imagine if someone was in a couple where one person, hardcore Democrat, another person was hardcore Republican or something, or whatever, it probably is not as often either. And that could probably have some arguments in that relationship. I'm sure some of them are just fine. And what they say, it's just like professional wrestling. Out in front, they're pretending like they're slapping each other and throwing each other off the ropes and stuff like that. But behind the scenes, they're probably, playing golf and patting each other on the ass. And I'm not just saying that figuratively. They probably really are doing that, some of them. But anyways, those politicians. So the details, what I'm trying to say here is a different perspective is to not look at the details as much as the feelings. So if someone, it usually starts with disappointment, right? You feel disappointed in something. Now, you can just come out and say it. I feel disappointed because, I told you I hate spaghetti, and for my birthday, what did you get? Spaghetti. I just feel like, not listening to me, or maybe this is a prank, or what's going on here. That's just an example. That's not true. It's just an example. It could be for somebody, but you can fill in the blank to spaghetti. And now if I just flat out said, I mean, that would be one way to explain it. I mean, and that's a very simple example. But then the other person can respond, well, you told me you did like spaghetti. I spent all day cooking for you. You didn't even say thanks. I had good intentions to get you something I thought that you liked, sincerely. But, you know, so that could be a little scenario. You don't have, this doesn't have to be about cooking. It could be about anything, you know. Like I told you, I hate driving at nights, and like, you know, we're going to a midnight viewing of this movie or something, or just anything. I mean, there's lots of different scenarios, or some of them more extreme. I'm using kind of easy, lighthearted ones probably. And, you know, I told you not to, or I told you not to, but, you know, I told, you know, okay, enough with the examples, but the thing is, you could just say, yeah, like, you could just have a grimace on your face and say to your partner, I hate spaghetti. And, now, let's pretend this is something that is a little more serious, okay? I don't have a good example right now, and that's missing the point. The point is, you could fill in the blank. I hate blah, blah, blah. I feel disappointed in blah, blah, blah. Whatever it is, I feel disappointed that, you know, I keep asking you to watch the mailbox, and I know someday you just crash into it. And today is the day, and I'm expecting a package tomorrow, and we're not going to have a mailbox. And it's a very important package, has to do with my job, and I need it, and hopefully they don't just pass on by because there's no mailbox or something. But, so, I don't know. Or, you know, thanks for mailing in my taxes. You mailed it to what address? Oh, no, that's the wrong address. That's not the actual IRS, so... And it had a check in it, and or just, I don't know. I mean, these are probably light examples. And again, those are innocent mistakes, but, you know, I'm disappointed that because I want to talk to you about something, but willing to listen or something like that. How about that? Or it seemed that way. So now instead of telling them that, you could just say how you feel instead, like, I feel disappointed. I feel disappointments. Now, you can go two ways, because sometimes it's good to be upfront and just tell you exactly what that detail is, and that can turn into... a good understanding of what it is and good communication. It could turn into something that seems nitpicky. It could turn into something that, you know, it's a waste of time. Or it could turn into, if it's misunderstood, and misunderstandings do happen. They are rare, but it could turn into an argument. And now... If you're scared of an argument coming on, in other words, or if you feel like you're in the middle of one and you remember this, you know, show today, you know, try to get out of your autopilot mode and just talk about each other's feelings. Like, what is it? Instead, forget about what it is you're disappointed, or forget about why you're disappointed, but what do you feel? Like, do you feel disappointments? I mean, does that lead to a more intense feeling of betrayal? You know, where your expectations, you know, shot down, out of the sky, like crash. So And now, it could start reasonably, and so we're trying to understand what escalates into an argument as well. It could start reasonably to share and improve, then something triggers something. It's probably your subconscious, whatever the autopilot is in your mind. So people, or someone doesn't understand you, they understand themselves and their feelings. So when you communicate something to somebody, if you want them to understand what you're communicating, you have a more likely chance to communicate the feeling first, then what, or then why it matters, or, you know, what it ends up being, versus what it is, and then why it makes you feel the way you do later. You throw something out there, it's going into someone else's ears and their processing center, and it's going to be digested and absorbed by what they know, their experiences, their perspectives, what they heard, what they think they heard, you know, what might be, what kind of disappointments or expectations they might have as well, and how they're seeing it, where they're putting the commas in the sentence, you know? So before you explain the details, just give the principle, like, instead of saying, you know, could you please do this, and then someone responds, oh, it's, yeah, you've told me like 10 times already, all right, I think I got it, yes, I will be happy to do that, or something, and then why are you snapping at me, what do you mean, and then it turns into, it, that could turn into argument, right, so when it's just something innocent, you know, maybe it's the tone someone's talking to you with, or something like that, you know, why are you bossing me around or something, and you know, expect to be, you're disappointed, and you because something to meet your expectations, and then the way you're interpreting how someone else is communicating to you, and maybe, you know, they aren't using a good tone, so, but you have to communicate that instead of saying, hey, I don't like your tone, and I'm not saying that's never unnecessary. I mean, why go from one extreme to another? You know, isn't there sometimes this, sometimes that? It depends. Maybe sometimes never that if you're in a good relationship. So how about I feel kind of, I don't know. Instead of explaining, like, here's another thing. You could, okay, let me see. You could say something like, instead of I feel disappointed, you could say something like, they might notice you frowning or something, or if they don't, if they do and they care, they'll ask what's wrong, is everything okay? Or you could just bring it up, and you could bring it up as if they ask that, if you need to, could say something like, I don't ever want anything to come between us. You know, I don't, you could say something like, my expectation is for us to always care for each other. And so, instead of sharing the fears, you could share the exact opposite hopes, the antonyms. So if something, you know, you could, I guess you could say, I really love avoiding eating mushrooms. I mean, absolutely. I mean, just even saying it like that does make it kind of funnier and happier. I mean, and that It's the easy example, but if you feel like someone is being bossy to you, you could say something like, you know, I just want to make sure that we never take each other for granted and that we always treat each other, you know, with love, and that too busy to be considerate, but we can also, you know, understand each other when we're in a mode, so we're not going to take it too sensitive either, you know, a balance, but still not get lazy and cry over 2 seconds of time. That is a good thing. So, because sometimes by sharing fear or disappointments, you know, you can end up feeling beached. And then they might reaffirm that and then think about what they're doing, or now if you did explain what it was, you've already shared the positive first and it should go better. And, so try that sometime. Like, explain how you feel or explain what you want to hold together, what's worth it, because there's got to be something that you want if you feel disappointed. There's got to be something that you expected if you feel disappointed. There's got to be something, if you expected something, that you could have agreed upon with that other person. The opposite of that would be disappointment because of expectations. Then the scary part is if it starts to feel betrayal, betrayed, and then you get defensive, and then it's war. And then, you know, you're saying you hate and stuff like that. And if you trained yourself, you might say, I just hate how I'm feeling about you right now at this very moment. But that's because sometime you've told your, you know, you've trained your own subconscious, which is good. It's kind of like, however you want to act next time, you've got to train yourself now. And so life is kind of like a nice little game like that, right? Sometimes. So, you know, if we do have a knee-jerk reaction, make sure you've trained yourself to have good ones. I mean, because we all use it at some point. I'm not saying that's inevitable, that we always will as humanity. Maybe we'll evolve to a point where we're alert and thinking about every single thing that we do consciously instead of subconsciously. But maybe not. I really don't know. And I would say probably, or at least at some moments, maybe subconsciously is better for some things. But if we really get to a point where we're so mentally strong, that wouldn't be. So, yeah, it's so that's really the gist of it, is sharing feelings and what you want to hold together. So, you know, before I was preparing for the show, I was writing some notes, and it just ended up being more like a poem. So, you know, you could say, I feel disappointed, I feel disappointment, and I feel hope. I have higher expectations. I think the good of what we have is worth everything. I want good to prevail and the mistakes of the past to not repeat. What I like is our wisdom, our cool, calm, collective ways, making choices from reason, rational thoughts, which stands timeless through crisis, temporal manias, and impulse. I don't want us to become what we hate and lose sight of what we are fighting for every day, what we live for. We have come so far compared to where we have been, 2 steps forward, 1 step back. It seems every challenge or obstacle is exponentially worse or better. Do we define ourselves by what we are not, who we are, both or more? Am I bringing light in the world or darkness? What really matters to me, to you? So that's that. We have like 5 more minutes. So in the last 5 minutes, so how would you talk to someone of the opposite political party? Because it doesn't matter if I'm Republican or Democrat. This would be a good exercise here, because I'm not using details. I'm just sharing feelings. And actually, that poem was some of that, you know. I feel disappointment and I feel hope because there's third-party candidates and people who are outside of the mainstream. I have higher expectations. I think the good of what we have is worth everything. The Bill of Rights, the enlightenment that is shining through even in this age. I mean, we're communicating right now. I want good to prevail and the mistakes of the past to not repeat. So you've got to arm yourself with the knowledge of history so that it doesn't repeat. What I like is our wisdom, our cool, calm, collective ways of making choices from reason, rational thoughts, which stands timeless through crisis, temporal manias, and impulse. You know, like instead of passing the Patriot Act, standing true to our principles, making sure everyone has a fair trial, making sure, we get all the facts and we strive for truth no matter what. Truth is the most important thing, not whether someone gets prosecuted. We want the truth. Whether they're innocent or guilty, we want the full truth. We want to understand history, and we want to keep advancing so, the next generation's not just more prosperous, but freer and more responsible at the same time. And we don't want us to become what we hate and lose sight of what we're fighting for, because people have fought for these freedoms. Now people are fighting to take them away. Now we have come so far, and compared to where we have been, two steps forward and one step back. It seems like every time we make progress, there's these war mongrels telling us every single time there's a new war. If you go on Wikipedia and look up the wars, and they have them from the years before year 1000, then 1000 to 1499 AD, there's been wars nonstop. Won't be fooled again, my ass. We've been fooled because as soon as one generation learns it, the next one's coming up and hasn't learned a damn thing, hardly. But we are now, right? So with the internet, we have a record of time that we can learn from that people can't just erase, hopefully. And so we define by ourselves by what we are not or who we are, both or more. Are you bringing light into the world or darkness? What really matters to me, to you? We have about 60 more seconds remaining. And so, yeah, there's a lot of challenges in this world, and some are of an epic proportion, and then they go down into different ones. This is the Philosophy Show. We'll see you next week. And have a great night and beyond.